Confessions of a Trainwreck. Commandment number 127. Thou shalt remember that some of life's best lessons are learnt on your worst dates. Hello, happy Tuesday, and welcome back to what I truly hope is your favourite podcast, Confessions of a Trainwreck. I'm Phoebe, your podcast host and resident trainwreck, who has somehow managed to claw her way into her 14th season. How? I don't know. I still literally don't even know how I made it past the very first season, but look, here we are at episode 1, season 14. Also, just while we're on that, I turned 31 last week, and isn't it so wild to think that I started this podcast when I was 27, and it was called Confessions of a 20-something Trainwreck, and now, a hop, skip, a jump, a podcast name change, and a few birthdays later, and here we are. So I just wanted to give a massive shout out to my OG fans who have been listening since the very beginning. I have to say that your perseverance through those first few episodes is truly admirable, and I will be forever grateful for that. Also, a huge shout out to any new listeners or anyone who's just like jumped in along the way. Everybody's support and continued loyalty week after week means more than I can even put into words, which is weird because, you know, all I do is words. And I'm still so shooketh to my core that I actually get to do this week after week. But anyway, enough of the icky sentimental stuff. It is officially time to kick off the season with a very, very special guest who I know you all love as much as I do, the one, the only, Nina Rollinston. Now, Nina is somewhat of a trainwreck veteran, and she's been on the podcast a couple of times now, where she's spoken about her experiences on both The Bachelor and The Bachelor in Paradise. And fun fact about Nina, I actually met her at the Bachelor auditions in Brisbane when we'd both made it through to the final round and were waiting in a room all day together for the camera test. Obviously, she made it onto the show and I didn't. Clearly, I've always had the face for radio, so I'll just stick to podcasting. But when it comes to dating, Nina and I have done absolutely more than our fair share of it, and it's pretty safe to say that we both put the X in experience. But plot twist, we are not the same single girls that we were last time we podcasted. Nina had absolutely had enough of dating dirtbags, so she decided to enroll in an 8-week program with a relationship alchemist. And the very first person she went on a date with after that course just so happened to be the love of her life. Now, this story is all kinds of incredible, and because it would be so selfish for me to keep it to myself, please join me in welcoming her back. Oh my God.
Cheers!
Two, this has been a long time coming for so many reasons, because I feel like every single time you and I have podcasted, which has been a while, you are a trainwreck veteran.
I am.
It's been with something ridiculous like kombucha or with coffee, yep. Or it's been the real PG stuff. Well, cheers!
Cheers!
Not the usual cheers. We've got kombucha, organic nice. Kombucha.
Raspberry lemonade. Thanks, hun.
Cheers! We have cheers twice, but never with wine. But finally, it's champagne.
One glass each. We have to be responsible.
It's a school night. It's a school night, and we're not that young anymore. We can't bounce back like we used to. But I'm thrilled. You know what else I'm thrilled about?
Tell me.
I'm thrilled about how happy you are.
We are. We're both happy.
We both are happy. Because you, my love, are very much in love.
I do. I have a love bug.
And you just told me before that that's his nickname.
It is. He's saved in my phone as love bug.
Stop it.
He hates it.
And you too on some level.
Look, it's a new thing. Yeah. I dreamt about it.
You're just trying it out?
Yeah.
Yeah, cute.
Yeah. So I changed his name in my phone.
To love bug.
To love bug.
Does he know that?
Yep. He hates that too.
The beauty of that though is they can't see what photo pops up or what name pops up when they call, because when they call you, they're not with you.
True. And I have full names and photos for everyone in my phone.
That's fun.
We've got a cute photo. Of course.
Obviously. But what I think is really interesting about this is I think a lot of the times that you and I have done podcast episodes together, mm-hmm. they've been very much the single girl
kind of
take on things,
take on life, because mm-hmm. you and I were both notoriously incredibly single for a good 10 years there. I mean, for Christ's sake, we met at the Bachelor audition.
Correct.
That is literally where we met. And we both kissed a lot of frogs.
Toads.
Tadpoles, some would say. To eventually find the princes. But I feel like, I don't want to talk about mine so much. I'll chime in from time to time. But I feel like you have actually gone on this incredible journey, especially recently, because I think mm-hmm. what else is different is that you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You really did put yourself out there to try and find love, because you Definitely. Are, ever since I've known you, you have been so genuine in just admitting that you just wanted to find love.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's the day I met you at the Bachelor auditions. You were like, I'm literally here
to find love.
Yeah. Like, that was always your vendetta.
Yep.
And you went on The Bachelor. You went on The Bachelor in Paradise.
Yep.
Didn't find love.
No.
Found lust?
No. No.
Did you get any tingles?
I got a tan.
Well, that's the second best thing.
Right?
And you were, like, also, like, quite active on, like, Tinder,
yep.
Hinge,
yep.
Bumble,
yep.
all of the apps.
I've been...
And there was men.
Blind date. What's that thing called?
Blind dates.
Blind dates.
When you're, like, set up by yep. a friend.
And speed dating. I've done that.
That's right. Like, every possible yep. dating scenario,
yep.
you did it. And it's not to say that they weren't all successful, because I do think... I often say sometimes a big part of figuring out what you want is figuring out what you don't want. And you're not going to figure out what you don't want unless mm-hmm. you experience
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's definitely not been wasted time.
Correct. Lots of lessons have been learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But then all of a sudden, in what has been a horrific year
yep.
for most of us, you have found this incredible love.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually remember messaging you maybe like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Just saying, you just look so happy.
Yeah.
And I am so happy for you. And you told me that you had undergone a course with a relationship alchemist.
Yes.
An 8-week program.
Yes.
And the first guy that you dated after this program is now your partner, who you
Correct.
Are deeply, madly in love with, and you've never been in love like this before, right?
Correct.
I have so many questions. The first one is...
Yes.
What is your relationship alchemist, and how did you find her?
So, her name is Michelle Panning. She's based out of Melbourne. I actually met her at an event here in Brisbane, Belinda Love, who was also on The Bachelor, sort of did an event at Powerhouse, and Michelle was one of the guest speakers.
Oh, nice.
So at the after party, Michelle and I just like completely connected, and then she got on a plane the next day and headed back to Melbourne. But there was just something that kept drawing me to her.
When was that? Was that like recently?
No, it would have been like August last year.
Oh, wow.
And I started my course with her about February. So I followed her on Instagram
mm-hmm.
and I was just so drawn to everything she was posting, and everything just connected with me so much. And I've done a lot of work on myself through the years with my therapist, who is absolutely incredible, and I feel like I'm on top of everything in my life, but dating and relationships was always the part that continuously fell apart.
I mean, I feel like the last episode we did was about, like, I think it was called like girl boss problems
yeah.
or like something. Like, career has never been a problem.
Yep.
Nothing else has ever been a problem.
Yep.
But for us, for some reason,
the
relationship things just mm-hmm. never stuck.
Exactly.
Not to say that they weren't there.
There was plenty of
them. There was plenty of them. I mean, don't make us sound
no.
like.
Look, there was enough.
No, there was some men.
Yeah. And so I wanted to do something that actually just honed in on relationships and relationships only.
Yeah.
And so I sort of started some conversations with her, and she reached out to me and she was like, Nina, I'm feeling your energy. I really feel like this program is something that'll be beneficial for you. So the program's called The Connected Woman. And it's about the cycles and patterns in dating, about identifying our desires in relationships and having healthy relationships with men, and just different ways to communicate, but also different ways to be true to yourself. And there was just so many things, and I think we're probably all the same. We always are attracting the same thing.
Mm.
And I think it gets to a point where the same thing keeps happening. It's time to look in the mirror and look at what you're putting out there.
I have never thought about it like that. But then, like, upon reflection, if you look back at your dating history, you're usually attracted to the same kind of person. Yeah. You have the same kind of problems. Yep. It normally ends in a similar kind of way. Like, there are patterns.
Patterns. Constant patterns with it.
But you tend to blame them.
Them.
For everything.
Absolutely.
And your friends feed into that narrative. So your friends are like, it doesn't matter. It's his issue. It's his issue. Yeah. But you're it's almost like to try and make you feel better or to pad your ego. Because that's what you do as a friend. Like, you don't want to see your friend hurting. But then that kind of, no one would ever have the guts to say to you, like, it was your, not your fault, but you were allowing a certain kind of behavior or treatment towards you.
Yep. And that's exactly it. And that's another thing she goes through, is about the roles you play in a relationship. And so the first thing I learned was, what do you desire? If someone says to you, what do you want in a relationship? You tend to say, what I don't want is this, 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 and this. And that's all you're forever putting out, is what I don't want.
Oh my God. Can we give the examples that we literally gave when I sat down today? So my non-negotiable in, this is so superficial, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
My non-negotiable in a relationship has always been that they can't be shorter than me.
Yep.
I am taller than my current boyfriend, who is the best one I've ever had.
Yep. And then for me, mine, I always had this idea that my soulmate had to live within a 10-kilometer radius of my house because I was so busy, I didn't have time to travel. And I would never date a single dad because I don't personally want to have my own biological children. So I now am dating someone who lives 35 kilometers away, sometimes an hour drive, and I have 2 stepchildren. Like, but
so lessons straight off the bat there.
Yeah. Put out, stop putting
stop
out.
Stop being so fucking picky.
Exactly. But I was forever getting told your expectations are too high.
Yeah.
Your standards are too high. Drop your standards. No, don't drop your standards. Put out what you desire. And so Michelle got me to write this list. What do I desire in a relationship?
What? Like, that's a very on the spot kind of question. Because if I thought about that now, I'm actually not sure what I'd say.
Yeah.
Now it's different that I'm in it. Yep. But I feel like as well, when you're a lot younger, and I think a lot of girls have this problem, is you don't like the nice guy.
Yeah.
You don't go for the nice guy. You're like, nice doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
But my God.
It does.
It does.
And that was the thing. It was like, you know what? I'm going to stop concentrating on what I don't want in a relationship, because that's all I'm attracting.
Oh,
is
my God.
I attract these narcissists or people who are mama's boys or people who play the field or who aren't loyal. Because when someone asked me, what do I want? I would say, well, I don't want this. So everything I was putting
out. So what were some of the things that you didn't want?
So I didn't want someone who would play around.
Yeah.
Or, you know, would be talking to multiple people at a time.
Oh, well, that's all I ever got.
Yeah,
to,
so. Exactly. I didn't want someone who wasn't empathetic, because I'm such an empathetic person.
Yeah.
I didn't want someone who would, you know, talk down to other people. I didn't want someone who would be unfaithful. I didn't want someone who drank a lot. I didn't want someone who was lazy and had no hobbies of their own. All of these things is all I ever attracted. So then
it would have been really unclear, especially to yourself, about what you actually did want. And if you if you reframe the way that question is, so if you take it out of the relationship context, if you go to the grocery store, you don't walk down the aisles being like, what don't I want? I don't want LCM bars. I don't want corn on the cob. I don't want... Like, you go to the grocery store to get
exactly what you want.
And then you buy it, and then you have a nice meal.
And then you're happy. So...
Oh, my God. I am already shook, and we are, like, 10 minutes in.
Yeah, 10 seconds in. So all of a sudden, it was like, I'm going to put out there what I desire, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. because I was always so infatuated with being chosen that I forgot that I had to choose them too.
Yeah.
And I would go...
Do you think that's the validation thing?
Yeah.
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 And a bit of ego.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I totally get that.
And it was like, oh, okay, you smoke. Oh, but that's okay because I want you to choose me. Oh, you don't have any hobbies or career goals or motivation. Oh, that's okay because I want you to choose me. So I was forever putting my desires and my wants aside because I was just so infatuated with being chosen. But I was never choosing them. It was just, you must choose me. And then I was always getting dumped in these huge fashions and my whole world would fall apart and I would spend the next 6 months picking up the pieces and then I would do it all again. So through this course with Michelle, I just learned so much, like just endless. The other massive thing was we tend to just continuously speak down to men. All men are shit. All men are cheaters. All men are liars. Well, they're not. There are some of the most incredible men out there, mm-hmm. but we're too busy running their names through the dirt and bagging them out because of a couple of bad experiences that we can't actually open our eyes and see the beautiful men in the world
mm-hmm.
who are actually like right there wanting to get to know us.
Yeah.
But we're too busy saying how fucked men are, how shit men are. Men are this, men are that. Well, they're not really.
Yeah.
There are some men, yeah, but not all men.
Was there like a particular like catalyst or like a super bad breakup or something that happened to you just before you decided to go through with the course, or it was just kind of right place, right time?
Yeah, I think it was a right place, right time. And I think I knew within myself that something I was doing was causing this cycle.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the tools to know what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing she sort of goes through is about the roles we play in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it filters down to when you're a little girl.
Oh my God. The attachment theory. Is that what you go through?
It was,
I am fascinated by that. I've mentioned a podcast a couple of months ago that I listened to this incredible podcast by this like scientists and psychologists who live in, I think, America somewhere.
Yeah.
And it goes through the attachment theory because I'm an anxious avoidant mm-hmm. attachment style from my childhood because that's when you form your attachment bonds mm-hmm. with your parents and things like that. And it's so mind-blowing to learn that, like, you're, and we were saying before, your childhood is such a formative time for all of your future relationships. And mm-hmm. it sounds like such a cop-out being like, oh, I've got daddy issues, but, like, he's not.
And exactly. And I didn't realize how many roles I was playing. You know, my dad was always there, but never there. And so I was always such an overachiever as a child to try and gain validation or love from him that I was state netball player, state touch football player. I was in every school musical. I danced. I was ducks of my college. And it was always just like, well, I am the best at everything. Why don't you love me?
Mm.
Why can't you be happy for me?
Mm-hmm.
And so then this overachiever, and like you said, with your friends always saying, oh, but you did this. Oh, but you planned the most amazing dates and you cooked for him and you were loyal to him and you were the most prettiest and you were this and you were this. And it wasn't enough for him. So he's fucked. So here I am in relationships forever overachieving to try and gain some sort of validation
mm-hmm.
where he didn't give a shit. He didn't like me. So no and matter what I did.
Unfortunately, that is just the way the world works.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it your fault.
No. No. So then there was these roles and there were so many of them that I was just continuously playing in relationships, you know, the person who fixes everybody, you know, all of those things. And it was like, oh my God, this is what I was doing as a child to get love, validation. And now I'm doing it all through my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this, one sort of part of the course that I'll just forever remember about women sending emotional dick pics to men.
What? What does that mean?
So you receive a dick pic.
Yeah.
you didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
You feel pretty violated by it.
Yeah.
Gross. Like, how dare you do this to me? But as women, we often put emotional situations or conversations on men without their permission. And by doing that, we will create conflict or a fight. So if you want to have a really vulnerable conversation, we're like in bed, they've had a huge day, and you're like, so what are we? And like, where are we going? And he's like, are you kidding me? Like, it's 10 o'clock at night.
It's like emotional ambush.
Emotional dick pic.
Oh.
And then this causes this huge fight. And you're this crappy person because you've just dumped this on him. And now he's this crappy person because that's how he reacted. But you never asked if he was, like, in the right frame of mind for this conversation.
Wow.
And
so then what's the right way to then approach something? So asking their permission before you go in for the kill, essentially. Yeah.
So literally I will say to Daniel, hey, like, I'm wanting to have a vulnerable conversation with you. Is, like, tonight a good time? And he'll be like, babe, I've had the shittest day, but can we do it tomorrow morning? Like, I've got the morning off. And I'll be like, yeah, not a problem.
Is that scary for you to ask that?
It was. And initially he said to me, he's like, you don't need to ask me permission to have a conversation. And I was like, no, yeah, I do, because I want you to be in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
And I want you to have a say in it. So,
and not just be taken completely off guard.
Exactly.
And I think when we get taken off guard, we become really emotionally defensive.
Yep.
And that's what causes a lot of
fights.
Conflict.
Yep.
Because when you're defensive, mm-hmm. you're not considerate
yep.
to somebody else's feelings necessarily.
Exactly.
Because you just go into like fight or flight mode.
Yep. Exactly. Wow. So there was a time where I had asked him for a vulnerable conversation, and we had sort of said, yep, Sunday night, like, I'll drop the kids off and we can sit down and have a chat. And when he dropped the children off, he had a really big fight with their mum, and he came home and he went, I know I said we can have a vulnerable conversation, but this has just happened. Can we just do it tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, not a problem. Whereas normally I would have gone in and gone, so blah, 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 this. And he's like at the end of his tether already, because he's just had this huge fight with the kid's mom.
Yeah.
And it would have caused all this trouble. But now he asks me.
Really?
If he feels like there's something he wants to bring up, he will say to me, hey, babe, are you good for an emotional, a vulnerable conversation, we call it.
Does that scare you if you get a message like that?
No, because
You've both been doing
it. Yeah, and it's never like a breakup conversation.
Yeah.
It's literally will be like a...
That probably, if anything, helps prevent a breakup conversation because you're actually yep. communicating.
Yep. And I will then be in the right frame of mind. So...
Yeah, right. Thinking rationally.
Yep.
You're calm.
Yep. I haven't had a really hectic day at work, or something hasn't happened, and I can sit down and actually be present with my partner at the time where he is going to be vulnerable with me, or I'm going to be vulnerable with him. And there's no emotional dick pic sent. So,
oh my God.
Like, there's,
are you my therapist?
Like, it was mind boggling.
Was it confronting? Because there's a lot of things I know I struggle with. And as ironic as it is, given that I'm a communications professional, I have a lot of trouble communicating when I'm upset with something or not happy with something.
Yeah.
And I'm not a psycho in that I know I've got a lot of friends who'll just like unleash and just yell at their partner, get really angry at them. I don't do that. I just go mute.
Yeah.
I just go very quiet. And obviously mm-hmm. my boyfriend, I live with him for Christ's sake. He knows, and he can recognize that behavior now. So he knows something's wrong, but there is some kind of roadblock that prevents me from being able to have conversations.
Yeah.
And I know I've always had that for my whole life. I've had that. And I know that there's a lot of shit that I need to unpack with a therapist. And honestly, I have been trying to get into a new psychologist and they are booked out until February.
I know.
If that is not a sign of the times, then I do not know what is. Anyway, I know that that is going to be like a big thing for me, because mm-hmm. I just don't know what it is that's stopping me from being able to just say why I'm upset or yep. why I'm mad, but I think it has to do with like my extremely hectic abandonment issues, and I'm worried about yep. being a burden and then him leaving like everybody else in my life has.
Exactly.
I'm getting really deep here, but that is the truth, and I've said it to absolutely. Him before, because sometimes yep. I do just get upset for no reason, and then I cry, and then I feel like if I'm crying or if I'm being difficult, he's gonna be like, you're too hard, I'm just gonna leave, it's not worth it.
Yep.
He's never done that. And especially after this year.
I know.
Christ, the amount of times I have cried this year.
I was going to say the tears that have been shed in 2020.
It's just, but it would be such a confronting thing.
Yep. So the hardest part of the course was doing inner child work. And that is about connecting with your little girl and finding out what she wants. Well, what she needs.
Is this course online or is it face-to-face or a bit of both?
It's all by Zoom now.
Yeah.
It's in a group. And I think I was initially really anxious about doing it in a group. But in turn, it was the best thing for me yeah. because you forever think you're the only one.
Oh, surely, that's the whole premise of my podcast.
Literally. Like you think you're the only one who gets a flat tire every second week. You surely think you're the only one
who's getting ghosted every time they go on yep. a date with someone. You think you're the only yep. one who
yep. is continuously putting yep. themselves out there, meeting these incredible guys, and then get dumped in these huge manners. And then you are sitting there in a group chat with 5-10 other women who are going, me too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's what happened to me. Oh, that's how I'm feeling. Oh, that's what I went through. And all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one. I'm not crazy. I'm not psycho. And that's what I loved about it. And there's a group of four of us and we're still now. So we did this course in February. So the last Friday of every month, we do a Zoom chat between the four of us.
That is so cute.
And normally it's like 4 hours of us just unpacking our last month. The other three are in Melbourne, so they're obviously having much tougher months than I am. And to be able to unpack it, talk about their dating, their relationships, what's going on, what they're feeling, what their little girl needs, you know, all of these things. So there's just so many layers to it that I walked out of it knowing exactly what I wanted in a relationship, exactly who that man needed to be. I communicated with him so differently.
That kid screaming is the reason that you don't want kids, hey?
Literally.
Shh.
I know.
We're doing a podcast.
Could you not? Like everything about it, that when I think if I had met Daniel 3 months before it, I would have gone, oh, you're not the guy for me.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. God. Me and my partner say that all the time too, because I think I dealt with my anxiety stuff only about 2 months before I met him.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't dealt with all that stuff, there is absolutely no way. Like, timing is honestly so crucial. So crucial.
Massively. And all of a sudden, I met this guy. We couldn't date.
Let's go to the meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Because you met. I don't think we even covered that. So did I say
no?
Get the first guy you went on a date with after this course...
Yeah,
you went. I said that, didn't
yeah.
I? Yeah, okay, said that. But how did you meet?
So we met on Bumble.
And in his Bumble profile, did he have, like, pictures of his kids? Like, did you know he was a dad?
I don't think he had pictures, but he had said he was a dad.
And so despite the fact that you have never wanted to have children and yeah. never wanted to date
yeah.
a father,
mm-hmm.
what made you still...
He has these, like... crystal blue eyes.
I've definitely seen the photos on Instagram.
Yeah. And they're like
mesmerizing.
And he's like super sexy. But the eyes, and I was just like, okay, he's got kids. Get outside your comfort zone. Stop like shutting people off just because they've got children or they live 35 kilometers away. And
this was also peak COVID time in Queensland. Like we were on lockdown, mm-hmm. nothing was open.
Mm-hmm. We failed at the social distancing. but we started chatting that morning. I was at home. My clinic had been closed down. He was still working because he's a tradie. And we spoke all day. really basic, boring conversation. No, like, fireworks. No, like, oh, my God, me too. And I made a joke about cooking dinner, and he's like, oh, cool, I'll see you soon then. And I was like...
Same day.
Yeah. And I was like...
And do you think that previously... I mean, you said the chat was boring and there was no, like, instant fireworks. Yeah. Do you think old Nina would have just kind of fobbed him off and been like, no, not for me, too boring, too vanilla, you've got kids. Yeah.
Yep.
Because I think that, obviously, love my boyfriend to death, but we were the same in that it wasn't this, like, fairy tale meeting and it wasn't love at first sight and it wasn't this thing that I had expected to happen when you met the person that you would then fall in love with. It was just like two adults who
crossing
got along
paths
and can have decent conversation. Yep. And then you see each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's
weird.
Yeah.
Because you think it needs to be this fireworks and excitement, but unfortunately that's what dies really quickly. It's really intense really quickly. And then it dies. And so he made this like joke comment about like, sure, I'll come over for dinner. And I was like, oh, are you being serious? And he's like, oh, aren't you? And I was like, okay, I'll see you at 6:30.
What did you cook him?
I cooked him.
Not that that has any relevance at all to why it worked out, but I'm just curious to know.
Well, actually, it's quite funny because I've been doing HelloFresh for like 2 years and I hid all the bags and made out like I was this amazing
MasterChef
cook. So he didn't know for like 6 weeks that I used HelloFresh and he thought I was this incredible cook.
But you still have to cook it. It's not like it's pre-made.
Exactly. Like,
just because you get directions and
like all the ingredients on my doorstep.
It doesn't matter. Any monkey can buy ingredients.
That was my thing, but he feels like I jilted him because I made him think I was this incredible cook.
Please, I've not once cooked for my boyfriend.
Oh dear.
Maybe a salad. It's definitely not my area.
It was like a chorizo and like couscous. It was beautiful.
My favorite HelloFresh was the chicken with the cranberry and the feta, like baked with the broccoli
it's
and the
so oh, good. I love HelloFresh. I've been doing it for years. But cooked him dinner. We sat on this lounge that we're sitting on right now. No TV on, no music on, nothing.
Mm.
And we talked till 3 a.m.
Me and my boyfriend till 5 a.m. the first night we met. Yeah. Not even kissed.
I know.
Just
we were the same. And then, like, there was a little bit of a cuddle. And then we fell asleep and woke up and it was freezing. He had to work because he was still working through COVID and we sort of woke up and I was like, just stay the night. Like, you need to start working 2 hours, at least get some sleep because it's a 40 minute drive home. And literally we've been inseparable since.
That is one of the best things to happen in 2020. Like, there are some really positive things that have actually happened this year. And I think you and I were talking before off air, just about how we used to really pride ourselves on the busy and it was always like an out. I feel like my sense of achievement and accomplishment used to always be like the busier I was, the more successful I was. But
the overachiever?
Was it? Yeah, the overachiever.
Mm.
But like, really, was it? Because all of my work was literally ripped out from underneath me in March.
Yep.
No money, nothing. Everything I've worked for so tirelessly for 10 years was just pulled from beneath me. And I still don't even have it back.
Isn't it funny that the reason we did our bucket list episode was because your mum said to us, without careers, what do you have?
That's right.
Start making goals.
Mama train wreck, you wise little dog. Also, on the bucket list thing, if anyone's listened to our previous episode, I think you've just ticked off your last one, which was your nude photo shoot.
I know. I stood in a field in public, nude.
And the photos are on your Instagram and they are incredible.
It was so liberating and full of ant bites, but I did it. I got my kid off in public in front of people walking their dogs and riding their horses.
I mean, can we just say for you that 2020 has just been like the biggest growth year?
Massive. Like, it was just COVID hit 4 months after I opened my new business, like first ever business, new business, 4 months. See ya.
Yeah.
Closed doors 2 months. Go sit at home for 2 months. But I just see so many positives in it. I've met Daniel. I have the most incredible relationship. We're talking about moving in together with the kids in January.
Oh, my God, do it. It's the best.
Oh, you don't have to live with a two-year-old.
No, that's true. I am the two-year-old. I'm the one who's watching Disney Plus with the unicorn yogurt and everything that goes with it. And my boyfriend said to me the other day, he was like, sometimes I just wish I had a grown-up girlfriend.
So I bought the unicorn yogurt.
Did you?
His eight-year-old hates it. I felt so betrayed.
I mean, if anyone is listening and you're not sure what we're talking about right now, I spawned a trend which Chobani refuses to acknowledge, which is the unicorn flip Chobani, and the amount of people who have tagged me in this goddamn yogurt and Chobani will not respond.
It's rude.
It's so rude.
And I literally said to Daniel, I was like, but Phoebe says it's amazing.
It is. So I added extra sprinkles to mine.
Your daughter is like, there's something wrong with her. She didn't like it, so now the two-year-old gets them.
Great.
Which I'm not sure if we should fill her with that much like sprinkles, but...
Just before bed.
There's a fridge full of them.
Love it. Can I move in?
Yes. So we've gotten onto that trend as well. We'll just have to pass it on to the younger daughter.
I love that for us.
I know.
So... I mean, I feel like I have taken so much away from this. I can't even imagine how much you would have taken away from the course. And for anyone who's interested, I will get the details off you and put them in the show notes so you guys can check it out if you're interested. So always, as we wrap up, what is the one piece of advice that you would leave all of our lovely listeners with about relationships and expectations?
Your standards are never too high. Desire what you want in a relationship and you will get it. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, but write down what your desires are and concentrate on putting them out into the universe instead of what you don't want.
Love that for you.
Yeah.
I don't even know what my advice would be.
I shouldn't be giving advice.
Come on, hon. I would just say get rid of your, what's that list? Like throw away your non-negotiable list because that is not real. Mm-hmm. That is not right because the person that you meet, I guarantee, will probably have one of the things that you said you never would be interested in a partner.
Exactly.
And I guarantee you they will be one of the best people you have ever met.
Meet. Absolutely.
Mic drop.
Ting. Oh, that didn't really ting, did it?
Don't you second guess me, no. Confessions of a train wreck. If you haven't subscribed yet, hello, do it now. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, rate me and write a review. See you again next week for Trainwreck Tuesday.